Cinema Chat Podcast, your source for all movie news, reviews, and opinions on movies, past, present, and future.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. It's your in charge of all the salt in the universe movie podcast, Cinema Chat Podcast. I'm Brent.
And I'm Rob.
And this week we're going to be discussing an oldie, but an oldie, Dune. So, 1984, this movie's older than me. But before we get to that, let's talk about what we saw this week. Rob, did you see anything?
Well, I was catching up on that Jessica Jones series on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much got to the 10th episode. There's 13 in the series. Wow. So still have a few more to get to before finishing it. But so far, I'm enjoying it. And seeing David Tennant play the bad guy is definitely worth watching.
Yeah.
That he's doing an awesome job. And if his career doesn't springboard from this, I don't know what will.
You would have think it would have already.
Well, yeah, he has the Doctor Who fame, but, you know, he still isn't very, that well-known into the general audience.
Right. Is that the only thing? That seems like quite a bit, so I'm assuming that's really the only thing you got to this week, right?
Yeah, it's, with the holiday this week and...
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
How was your Thanksgiving? Since
I made the turkey.
You made the turkey?
Yeah.
You domestic diva, you.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have to make the sides. I just have to make the turkey. And it's not that hard, so.
Yeah.
throw it the oven.
Yeah, we went over to my mom's house and all my siblings and all of our families there. So my dad did the turkey, and then all the kids do side dishes, so I just brought over one because I'm not a cook, so I made a little baked corn dish, and honestly, if I'm being truthful, I didn't even really make it. I just mixed up the ingredients and put it in the oven. I put it in the oven. I didn't really mix it up, so I came in a little hot, but yeah, my Thanksgiving was good. Thought I was going to make it to see Creed, but I'm going to do that tonight.
Yes, me too.
I watched a little movie last week, I believe, called Trainwreck. That was since the last episode, right? I haven't talked about that, have I?
That's correct. The Amy Schumer Bill
Hader. Yeah, movie. The Amy Schumer movie. Watched that. It was funny. It was pretty much what I expected out of it.
But from the tone of your voice, I'm assuming not that funny.
No. There was a lot of laughs in it. I love Bill Hader. I think he's hilarious. And then there was good performances from a couple of athletes in it. LeBron James is really funny. John Cena is surprisingly funny. He was the revelation for me out of the movie. He didn't have to do a lot, but he delivered what he was given pretty well. I thought he put in quite a bit for his small role. It was a good movie. I mean, it was a solid 7.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed it. It was one that I wanted to see for quite a while. Redboxed it up and, you know, sat down, had a nice little Saturday.
Is this was like your girlfriend wanted to watch it or?
Yeah. She spearheaded. I wanted to see it. I wanted to see it anyway. Like, I wanted to see it whenever it was in theaters. We just never made it. And then she was like, she saw that it came out, and she's been, like, we need to watch that. So, I didn't Redbox. I did On Demand on my DirecTV.
Right.
So, but it was good. It was worth the... you know, $5 or whatever it was to watch it. So, but that's pretty much all I watched this week, unless you're, you know, I watched Dune last night, but you know, we'll get there.
Yes.
All right. Let's pop into some movie news, Rob.
All right, movie news.
Yeah, movie news.
All right, let's do some movie news, Rob.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to just start off with the, you know, the elephant in the room, or whatever you want to call it, that they released the new Captain America Civil War trailer, and it's totally amazing.
It is glorious. I was excited, and then the trailer came out, and I got to see Bucky and Cap fighting Iron Man in close quarters, passing the shield back and forth, and I think I might have jizzed in my pants a little bit.
Well, not only that, but we get shots of Black Panther in action,
mm-hmm.
which was totally amazing unto itself.
He looks like he runs really fast.
And not only that, but he can stand toe-to-toe with Cap and the Winter Soldier. So I'm looking forward to seeing him in action as well.
Yeah, I was blown away by the trailer. I mean, it's got everything in it that you would want out of the first trailer. You get tons and tons of action. You get to see multiple characters. You get to see some drama mixed in there that you don't typically get to see in the superhero movie trailers. It's typically just action, action, action.
Right.
You get a little tiny taste of the drama. I think this movie's going to be better than I was expecting.
Yeah, and I think the Russo brothers, who directed the previous Captain America movie, are going to, you know, just keep using the same formula and, rake it in at the box office with this movie.
Yeah, they're Marvel's new golden boys.
Right. So. And a lot of people were saying, like, hey, this is like Avengers, 2.5. And this trailer definitely blew that out of the water, because this definitely still focuses on Captain America. So it's still very much a Captain America movie. It just has a bigger cast than before.
Yeah.
And seeing just that trailer just showed us like so much of what's going on. It's going to be pretty amazing. And I think that a lot of people expected to see this trailer in front of the Star Wars movie, but I guess they decided to throw it out there a little bit early before Star Wars to kind of,
get things going. I'm really hoping that I get to see it on the big screen.
No doubt. I still think that they're going to show it before Star Wars, but I think just throwing it out a little bit in advance is even, better for it.
Just 6 more months. Just 6 more months, and we have plenty in between.
Yep.
Oh, let's see. Just between then, just the huge ones. Star Wars, Deadpool, Batman vs. Superman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're not excited to be a movie fan right now, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Yeah, like 2016 is it the year for comic book movies.
Yes, 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 yes. All right, moving on.
Yeah, we saw there was a headline saying that, can Star Wars beat Titanic or be the new Titanic? As
I think it can surpass Titanic. I don't think it can reach Avatar status, just because that movie was bolstered by the 3D. But yeah, I think it could beat Titanic. But if you remember, Titanic was like such a huge phenomenon. I mean, I know girls that went and saw that movie 15 times. My sister, who doesn't go to the movies very often, was in her late teens when that movie came out, and I think she saw it eight times, and she never goes to the theater. So, I mean, it's going to take quite a haul to surpass that, but I think with inflation and the amount of fervor that people have for this upcoming movie, I don't think it'll have any problem getting past that.
Well, yeah, I think what the criteria that they're looking at was breaking the 600 million mark.
I don't think it'll have a problem.
Yeah. So yeah, if it does that, then it'll top what the Titanic did 18 years ago when it came out.
What did what was Jurassic World's final take? 652 million. So if it wants to beat Jurassic World out, it's going to have to do almost 700.
Yeah, I think that. Well, we're talking about, I guess, opening box office results.
Opening weekend?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, Titanic wasn't anywhere near that. Let me see. I'll pull up Titanic's opening weekend. Because Titanic had like a slow burn. It stayed in theaters for forever.
Yeah, I think that's what they're speculating, is that it could gross north of $600 million worldwide its opening weekend.
Worldwide.
Yeah.
Domestically, Titanic did $28 million its opening weekend. Yeah, I mean, it could do that. It could do that.
Yeah.
Worldwide. I thought you meant in the United States.
No, well, I should have been more specific.
That's why I was like, no. It'll probably be in that $200 million range that, you know, the Avengers movies have been in. I say, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say $260 million.
I'm not going to throw out a number.
I'm going way early. I'm putting my flag down in the sand. $260 million domestic opening weekend. So we'll see how close I am. Write it down, people. Tweet me whenever I'm wrong.
Wow. The challenge has been issued.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Let's continue with more Star Wars news. Is that Mark Hamill has been confirmed to be in episode 8, which we kind of already knew because we mentioned this before, that he was spotted in Ireland or Scotland doing something, and everybody thought it was like, you know, for like a reshoot,
mm-hmm.
or for whatever, but he probably will be in episode 7, and they're probably going to continue him, and also Hayden Christensen. Yeah, I think that episode 8, we're probably going to see more of a backstory than we will in episode 7.
Yeah.
If they're focusing more on these characters in that movie.
Can we please just get there?
Yeah.
Three weeks.
Yeah, almost there, buddy. Keep together.
I'm dying.
All right. Moving on with more comic book news. This week there was breaking news that Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Star-Lord's father was revealed, and a lot of people were shocked and amazed, and maybe not both of those at the same time.
So, is this confirmed or is it just a rumor?
Well, this is going off of what. The director of the movie revealed that his father is not going to be who it is in the comic books, which is Jason of Spartax.
Mm-hmm.
And it's rumored that the only other person that they could reference is Captain Marvel,
mm-hmm.
the original character where the Carol Danvers character gets her powers from.
Yeah.
Which, you know, ties it in with the upcoming Captain Marvel.
Yeah, that would make sense.
So that's where all the signs are pointing. So what do you think about that?
I know nothing of the characters, so I don't know. As long as I get compelling story, I don't care if they could make it tie into other movies a little more smoothly, because right now the Guardians, you know, aside from the Infinity Stone, they're kind of just out on their own, out in the middle of nowhere, so if they could start tying them into other movies that have come or are going to be coming, I'm all for that, because I would like them to fit a little more neatly into the Marvel Cinematic Universe than they are right now. Because I'm a fan of the characters, so mm-hmm. I'd like to see them woven into the greater story a little more coming up.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, they're not following the comic book, and they mentioned that the same thing with Captain America Civil War. And like, I have to, you know, constantly tell people is that, you know, they're trying to make a good movie. They're not trying to make mm-hmm. a good comic book.
And it's like, I don't know. And maybe it's because I'm way more into the movie side of it than I am the comic book side, I guess. But I can't imagine that if they took a movie that I love, or for heaven's sakes, they took a TV show that I love, Buffy, turned it into a comic book. Guess what? It's not the same thing. Similar, but there's a lot of differences.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not shouting from the rooftops, this is not my Buffy. I don't care. Like, they're not the same thing. You're not going to get the same thing out of a movie that you get out of a comic book. It's two different mediums. They don't lend themselves to exact replicas of each other. And if they're going to change something here and there to improve their universe, there's so many different stories in those comic books. I mean, don't even get me started on the amount of times they've restarted the universe and how many different continuity errors there are in comic books. Don't get me started on that, because you're going to lose.
Yeah, and then also you're talking about something where it's serialized and it happens over, you know, maybe a year or more or a few years, in fact, and you're going to expect them to go word for word in a, you know, two-hour movie?
No way. Yeah, I'm a nerd myself, self-professed. But I'm not going to get into a nerd fight with someone about how they're not following the comic books. Like, get over it. It's a movie.
Yeah, that's the same thing where, you know, people say, oh, it's not exactly like the book like they did with Harry Potter. Or
fucking book nerds. Shut
whatever.
Up.
I was like, big deal, you know, or the Lord of the Rings where they, you know, they skipped a lot of stuff. I mean, who, you know, if it makes the movie more enjoyable, you know, and then they left out like some side story or whatever, you know, big deal. I mean, these movies are already like longer than most people can stand. You know, that's like one thing I have, you know, if I start having the need to go to the bathroom while watching a movie, the movie's too damn long. You know,
I mean, I'm coming off angry and it does irritate me. But let me sympathize with them for a minute. I understand that these are stories that you love, and I understand that you don't want them tinkered with or because you view them as perfect. But they've decided from a very early on point in making these movies that they're not going to follow the comic books to a T. They're going to pick and choose what they want. They're going to combine stories. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and they're going to spice it up a little bit. Then put their spin on it.
The sooner you get used to that, the more you'll be able to actually enjoy the movies. And guess what? The comic books still exist. You can go read them over again if you want to live that story again. It's the same thing that I tell people that get upset whenever their favorite movies are remade. You know, it doesn't take away the original. Go watch that one. This one doesn't have to be for you. Yep, if
and
you
also,
don't want
there's
it.
Animated movies that Marvel puts out that are usually... More like the comic books as well.
This is a golden age for comic book movie fans.
Yeah.
We're probably not going to get this again once it ends, so enjoy it while it's here.
That's right. All right, folks, let's finish this off with Tom Cruise in talks to lead the Mummy reboot for Universal Studios. What's up with that?
Can I get Brendan Fraser back? I never thought I would say that, but...
Yeah, Brendan Fraser was, you know, pretty good. I mean, although it was like a little campy at times, I thoroughly enjoyed the Mummy movies with him in it.
I liked the first one. I wasn't a fan of the sequels, but I liked the first one.
Yeah, I liked the first and second, the third one not so much, but definitely was entertaining, and you know, I wouldn't mind if they kept going. But I guess, you know, so much time has elapsed and, you know, they want to, you know, take it in a whole new direction. And Tom Cruise coming off his Mission Impossible movie success and everything. He's still, you know, bringing people to the box office. So, you know, why not?
Yeah, I guess.
But like I said, it's just in talks. You know, he could turn it down, or, you know, maybe the contract isn't up to snuff. Who knows? But
well, I mean, honestly, I'm not that excited about a Mummy reboot anyway.
Right.
So putting him in the lead for me just makes it even less likely that I'll see it. But, you know, to each his own. I know a lot of people really like him. I happen to not be one of them. That's my own problem. But, yeah, I don't know that I would be super pumped about a Mummy reboot, even if they had someone that I really liked in it.
Right.
I don't know.
I think that, you know, probably Universal Studio, that's probably one of their bigger IPs.
Mm-hmm.
And they just probably want to, you know, get more out of it.
Oh, yeah. They're gonna milk it until there's nothing else coming out of it.
Right. So that's more than likely why they want to reboot the series. But yeah, that's pretty much what I had for the movie news, unless you wanted to add anything.
I have a story.
Go for it.
Fantastic Four 2 has been canceled.
Yes!
Yeah, we called it a long time ago after we watched the first one. They've removed, Fox has removed it from their upcoming release slate, and they're exploring other options with the characters. So, looks like the Fantastic Four movie is officially done, and perhaps we'll be seeing them, some of the characters show up in a different way, in a different franchise.
Right. Yeah, because let's not forget that we talked earlier about Fox's deal to bring X-Men to the the television.
Mm-hmm.
And that part of the deal was to get the Fantastic Four side characters back into Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
So, not like I said, not the Fantastic Four themselves, but all the auxiliary characters that exist in their particular comic book universe, that so they can use them in other movies.
So, I guess we could probably thank Josh Trank for screwing up so royally that we're not subjected to any more of those terrible movies.
Well, he said it was not his fault.
Yeah, I mean, somebody has to be blamed for it.
It's not your fault.
Don't fuck with me. All right. But that concludes our movie news. On to the box office.
Yes. And who did we say was going to be number one for the weekend of November 20th to the 22nd?
Mockingjay Part 2.
That's right. And they raked in $102 million, 0.6.
That's lower than they were expecting.
Well, what were they expecting?
They were, well, the other movies in the series, that's the lowest opening in the series. So, it looks like people are, you know, still watching it, but each movie, I think, has kind of gone down. $100 million is nothing to sneeze at. They'll be happy with it, but I think they would have rather had it somewhere in the, like, 130 range. So, and I said that Spectre would probably maybe creep up to 20 million. It didn't make it there, did it?
No, it only brought in 15 million in the second spot.
Yeah.
Followed by the Peanuts movie with 13.2 million.
Yeah.
And we have in the fourth place, we have The Night Before, which is the Seth Rogen movie.
Yeah.
At 9.8 million. And then we also have in the fifth spot, which is The Secret in Their Eyes, at $6.6 million.
Is that the one with Nicole Kidman and Julia Roberts in it?
No, it's with Chiwetel Ejiofor, Nicole Kidman, Julia Roberts.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I haven't seen or heard much about that movie, so.
Yeah, I think it has to do with like a missing person type movie or something of that sort. It's like an independent film, so that's probably why you didn't hear too much about it.
Interesting. What comes out this weekend?
This weekend comes out Creed.
Creed, yeah. We're going to be talking about that next week.
Yeah.
I guess Mockingjay is probably going to hold on to that number one slot.
Maybe, maybe not, because all the positive reviews and word of mouth for the Creed movie, and I think that there could be an upset.
You think so?
Yeah, I think there possibly could be Creed taking down Mockingjay Part 2.
I mean, I would be happy with that because I think it's going to be excellent. And
I talked to a couple of people at work, and they're like, yeah, I'm going to go see it. Like, everybody said, yeah, I'm going to go see it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't hear that very, very often when a lot of people
I do think it,
a movie.
They appeal to very different audiences. So I could see some of those teenage girls, you know, they have money to spend. I don't know. I kind of think Mockingjay is going to edge it out, but I guess we'll wait and see. I'm definitely going to see Creed tonight. So
yeah, I think, you know, that could be possibly that, you know, still the young female audience continues to check it out, but I think this Creed movie appeals to a much broader audience and also a much older audience.
Yes.
With the money that they're going to bring in, I think that's definitely going to be a strong contender.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I was excited about it from the first time I heard about it. And then I saw the trailer, I got a little more excited. And now that it's getting positive reviews and really strong positive reviews, I'm excited.
Yeah, they're like talking about Oscar nominations, even for Sly Stallone as best supporting actor. Yeah. Like, yeah, whoa, look out.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever I heard that, I was like, ooh, they might be on to something here.
Yeah, and remember that this movie is directed by the same director who did Fruitvale Station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it
Ryan Coogler or Coogler? Or
yeah, Coogler. That his movies invoke a lot of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely like Oscar worthy material when a movie can do that to the audience.
I can't wait.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to go see it. Shortly after this show, and you know, I'll get a quick review up for the Venchat show.
2 hours and 13 minutes. Don't take your large soda.
Yeah, that I gotta stop doing that. All right, any emails or tweets?
No emails, no tweets.
All right, so yeah. Moving on.
Into our review for the week. I told you earlier, 1984's Dune, directed by
very famous
David Lynch.
Yes, and based on the book written by Frank Herbert, and David Lynch did the screenplay for this movie. And this is most people's first sighting of Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
yeah.
In this movie.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to see him. I didn't realize he was going to be in it.
Yeah, Patrick Stewart's role that kind of, I guess, cemented his or helped him get that Star Trek role in consequently. But this movie is one of those early 80s sci-fi action thrillers, and it's always held a special place in my heart. Much like Blade Runner and Star Wars and Brazil and those type of movies, this is this great spectacle, epic saga that is what got me into watching these type of movies when I was very young of age. All and right. I know this is way before your time,
but yeah, just...
this is one of those movies you have to watch the theatrical version, because this has been on TV for ages, and a lot of, you know, good stuff has been edited out for the sake of time. But just like Blade Runner, you know, you have to watch this in its full glory theatrical, or maybe even like director's cut.
Okay. Let me give you listeners a peek behind the curtain here. As I said earlier, this movie came out the year before I was born, and I've never seen it. Much like Blade Runner, it's one that I'd always been told I should watch, but never have gotten to. Rob texted me a couple weeks ago and said that he wanted to get to this movie, you know, in the next few episodes. And I said, sure, I've never seen that. I should watch it. I'm going to kind of let the cat out of the bag here in the beginning. I did not enjoy this movie. And I've come to the conclusion that maybe, just maybe, if it's an early 80s sci-fi movie that I haven't seen yet, that I'm probably just not going to like it. I don't know why. I don't see what's to like about this movie, to be honest with you. So, Rob, I'm going to let you take the reins a little bit on this one, and I will interject because I have some things to say. But, it wasn't a difficult story to follow. It's a pretty simplistic story. I mean, shit, the most of the characters tell you what they're thinking via inner monologues throughout the movie, which is annoying. And this one was not for me.
Well, this movie, like I said, it was made into like somewhat of a epic saga based off a very popular book.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the exposition was done to kind of like get things going without, you know, so much of a build up. But this movie, you know, goes into a lot of detail about certain things. And we also get to see Sting play play one of the bad guys.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. And also, like I mentioned earlier before, that we see Patrick Stewart as well. And also, like, Kyle MacLachlan
mm-hmm.
played the lead role, which, you know, right now he's starred in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show quite recently. And Virginia Madsen is also in it, but very briefly. So if you like pretty heavy sci-fi movies that like go into these grandiose fashions, like I mentioned earlier before, like Blade Runner or Brazil, I think that you like this movie. But like Brent, who probably never didn't see this and maybe not a fan of like old school sci-fi movies, but this may be not for you. But
I'm open to watching movies that are older, and generally I don't typically let the bad CGI and computer generated stuff, special effects, get in my way. And I did really enjoy the camp of some of the practical effects. For example, the scene with the guy that has like all the boils or whatever on him.
Mm-hmm.
The scene where he's like, I can't even really remember. Was he eating on chewing on the guy, and there's blood just coming down his face? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's the Baron Harkonnen, and I don't know, whatever. I think they were trying to imply something without actually showing it, but it didn't come off very well. And in the TV release, they usually cut that part out because it's really not necessary.
There's really no way to cut around it, and it says a lot about what I thought about the movie. That was my favorite part. I enjoyed the things about this movie that I did enjoy. I enjoyed strictly from like a poor effects, bad CGI, camp, old movie kind of thing.
Well, number one, they didn't use any CGI. That was all like somewhat animated, where they actually like draw on the film itself. So yeah, that's just like the same thing that they did in the original Star Wars trilogy, where they actually animate the lightsabers and stuff. Because at the time they didn't have.
All right, well, not CGI. I guess what I meant was special effects.
Yeah,
a little more broad. We're so used to saying CGI now as like a general effects replacement thing. So that was my go-to, but you're right. The special effects in it. That is what I enjoyed. And I enjoyed it from a side of it that I was like, this is bad. Like, I enjoy bad movies, and I got enjoyment out of it from that perspective. At no point did I feel like I was watching a coherent film. And I think that's kind of Lynch's MO, right? I mean, he does a lot of things that make you just go, what the fuck am I watching?
Yeah, he's definitely had a lot of weird movies and make you kind of think. And what I got from this movie is that it's kind of like trying to throw out a message that within all of us, we have something special that is just waiting to be let loose. And mm-hmm. that's where we get like the epic line from this movie, you know, the sleeper, you know, must awaken. And then mm-hmm. at the end of the movie, you know, Father, the sleeper has, you know, awoken. Is that, you know, empowering yourself to you know, be better and, you know, help those around you is the message that I got from it. And the way that this movie goes about it is in a very, like, epic way that it does it. And but it suffers from being done in a time where probably it was a little bit too early for it. So a lot of things couldn't be properly done. Maybe if it was done nowadays, it would be, maybe the story would be conveyed a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Or maybe some, like you say, the effects could be done in a different way, more believable. And this movie was actually tried, was, I should say not the movie, the book was tried to, was going to be done in the early 70s. And they couldn't pull it off back then, so then they kind of like got pushed off to the early 80s. Mm-hmm. And they, and I think for what they did, it it came out pretty good for what it was at the time. Like I mentioned before, this is pretty much the same time where, you know, we have Star Wars, Return of the Jedi, and you know, Aliens, mm-hmm. and you know, Blade Runner. So you see a lot of similar things going on in those other movies as you see in this movie.
Right.
But
I tell you there was another thing. Like, the movie starts with them wheeling, these people wheeling in this giant box, and then they like pull back the dark covering of the box, and there's like this floating blob monster guy. And right off the bat, I'm like, what did I sign myself up for? So right off the bat, and then there's a scene later where he's just like, I don't know what he's doing. He's like floating around somewhere. I don't know. I don't remember any characters' names. I know there's the Baron, you know. I can't, but as far as character names, I didn't remember enough to even tell you who anyone was. I tell you what I do wish I'd seen more of. I wish I'd seen more of that Tremors-style monster.
Oh, the worm.
Yeah, I wish I'd got more of that. I think I would have liked that a little better.
Well, you know, to mention also that there was, in 2000, there was a miniseries based off, or I guess that they redid this,
really?
Start on sci-fi television.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was like a three-part mini series that kind of like went more into the Frank Herbert's movie, and mm-hmm. I guess like some things that maybe that this movie didn't go over, it went into, and then they went more into like what happens after the movie, like, you know,
okay.
Paul has children, the worms, they go more into the worms and the whole spice, which is pretty much what the whole movie is centered about. And you could probably catch that up. And a lot of people liked that that miniseries.
Yeah, maybe I might like that a little better.
Yeah, it's you can find it pretty easy. It's to watch. William Hurt stars in it and stuff, and a whole bunch of other people. But yeah, this, like I mentioned, this movie focuses about this. It's set in the far future, and it focuses on this spice called Melange. And it's just referred to spice pretty much the whole movie. And in this time, in this spice is what extends human life and opens up consciousness. So it allows humans to somewhat not only live longer, but open up their minds to do a lot more things. And what they show is that, you know, some people can become human calculators, and others, like what you mentioned about the floating space blob thing, which is someone who has used the spice so much that they've evolved into a whole new creature that
it looked like Slimer.
That could fold space, and that's how they travel in this universe, is that these evolved humans have learned to fold space, and they travel the entire universe using this technology.
Yeah, it's like a combination of real life Middle Eastern control over oil and the movie Limitless. That's kind of what what I made the story in my head. These places that have access to the spice have more control, a little more power. People are going after them to get it, and then Limitless, where he uses the drug. The Bradley Cooper movie that makes him super smart and, all that stuff. So I kind of saw it as like a combination of those two archetypes. But as far as getting anything out of it, no.
Well, like I this movie is probably what probably the ideas for those movies came from. A lot of that stuff was originated here, and you could probably make the reference of like it's like similar to oil kind of deal, or like a precious resource that he and this is one of the catchphrases from the movie is like, he who controls the spice controls the universe, because they can only find that on that one planet that they mine it from. So it's a very sought after commodity, and they don't focus on this too much, but they mention it a lot, like the houses of the Landsraad. And they just focus on these three houses in the movie, but there's like in the book there's many many other like factions at play that make the story more involved. But in this movie they solely focus on these three factions, which I think that maybe they should have gone into a little bit more, but they didn't. And like I mentioned, this is like was a spectacle when the movie came out. They came out in December of 1984, and it definitely, I guess, was going off of that, like those other movies, like I mentioned before, like Blade Runner and Aliens and the Terminator series and things of that sort. But I enjoy this movie. This movie always has a special place in my heart. And I also, with like Labyrinth and Legend, also fit in there. And I kind of like group those two movies with this movie. Those more are in the fantasy genre as opposed to the sci-fi as this one is. But to me, this movie is always an 8 out of 10, and I catch it whenever I can. And I actually watched it again before doing this review because I can't get enough of this movie.
I don't know if we could differ any more on this. And I knew that it was going to be that way coming in, which I thought would make this a little interesting for me. As much as, I'm sure everyone enjoyed seeing Sting walking around in his metal underwear. I didn't get anything from that, and I didn't get anything from this movie aside from mocking it. And I'm sorry if you love this movie, and I fully acknowledge that it has its fans, but this is a bad movie. And that's an opinion, and opinions differ from person to person, but I hated it. And any points it gets from me are just because I have the ability to mock certain aspects of it. It's a 2 out of 10 for me.
Wow.
Yeah, I venture to say there will not be a lower score given on this podcast, because I was waiting for it to be over whenever I was like 30 minutes in. I was like, can I just skip to the end?
Oh no.
Yeah.
What's Reggie's number? I need to call him up right now. What the
Reggie, write in. Tell me why I'm
hell?
wrong, because I know that you're gonna think I'm wrong.
Let me call him up right now. This
If he was on Skype right now, I would call him. But yeah, it's sorry. I mean, I'm sorry. I wish I had better news for you, but it's not good to me at all. Yeah, it's a bummer. I hate it. I don't like doing that, but I would be dishonest if I gave it like a 5. I got nothing from it, and I could not wait for it to end.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
What did you give Blade Runner?
I think I gave Blade Runner a 6. Yeah, I enjoyed Blade Runner a hell of a lot more than I enjoyed this. It is not.
I thought that you were gonna, you know, give it like similar to Blade Runner.
No. This is nowhere near that for me. I enjoyed Blade Runner way more. I got no enjoyment out of this other than mocking it.
Well, folks, you heard it here. Write in, tweet.
Yeah,
whatever you gotta do, what you gotta do.
My Twitter account is @xnotmalcolm.
You know, send that hate mail to cinemachatpod@gmail.com.
Yeah. And if you agree with Rob, his Twitter's @robep1. You know, just send us whatever you feel, because I know that we differ a ton, and I know that there's a lot of people out there that feel the way I do, and there's a lot of people out there that feel the way you do. It seems to be a polarizing movie. My dad, who likes everything, I asked him if he had ever seen it. He said, yeah, I've seen it. I asked him what he thought about it. He just said, yeah, I mean, it was okay. Which for him is pretty much saying it's awful. And, you know, if Turd Hat said that from Vent Chat, it would basically be like a gold stamp. But so, yeah, it. I know. I'm young. And I mean, I'm not that young, but I'm young enough to not like this movie. So sorry, folks. Maybe we already gave out the Twitters. We already gave out the
better luck next time.
Yeah. So I guess that's going to do it for the Cinema Chat podcast this week.
Stay tuned for more torture sessions with Brent.
Next week, I'm going to be a whole lot more positive because we're going to be covering Creed next week. So come back for that.
Yes.
Yeah. Until next time, just remember, in the podcast world, we control the spice. And goodbye.
Bye.